Have you ever had a preacher get this close in your face before? Maybe you felt like it. Oh, sorry. I need to back up for social distancing purposes. Sorry about that. In over 30 years of teaching and preaching to people in person, I have to say that pre-filming this sermon early is strange. And trying to look at a fixed point and not looking right and left is very hard to do. Where are you guys anyway? I don't see you. Where? You nobody to the right, nobody to the left. If you get bored, just have some fun. Count the number of times I look to the right or look to the left or look up, trying to find somebody to preach to. All these non-existing people in the living room. But on a serious note, I'm glad that you've taken the time to watch this sermon. I pray that it'll be a blessing. Also, be sure to watch the Lord's Supper meditation video, as well as the offering meditation video that I've put up there also. Have a question this morning. Is the coronavirus a plague sent by God to get us to wake up in America and to wake up around the world? During every tragedy, people always want to blame God and accuse a loving Heavenly Father that he is uncaring and downright mean and hateful. Others will misquote Romans 8:28 and say God will bring good out of this epidemic. Yes, God will bring good. Good will come. And one good thing that will come is that we'll have an opportunity to grow and rely on Jesus. But the context of Romans 8 is about our salvation and about being freed from our current sufferings. See verse 18. We will be free from suffering and never separated from the love of God. Romans 8, 37 and following says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are loved. Never forget that foundational truth. Jesus came to die and to save us from our sins. We have forgiveness and we have hope in Jesus. Is this virus a plague from God? No. There is death and disease in the world because we live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve lived in the perfect garden, the garden of paradise, and they sinned. And now our world is corrupt and fallen. We want to live in a perfect paradise, but that's long gone. We will have an opportunity to live in paradise with Jesus for all eternity. But for now, we are stuck in a fallen world. Even the world is crying out to be rescued. Look at verse 22. Yes, God causes some things. But it is also true that God has set natural laws into motion. And it is true also that God has given us a free will. So when you combine a creation that has fallen with evil intentions of free will man, we get some awful situations, which is what I believe we're seeing now. In the future, we and creation will be freed and will be brought into the glory of God. Romans 8:21, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now that is great news. That is the silver lining of life. In the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, what's the worst thing that could happen? And it's already happened to more than 10,000 people. They've died and they've met Jesus. They've come into the presence of Jesus before that great white throne. But the truth is, 7,000 people in America die every day. Every 12 seconds, someone passes away. So that means Every 3 days, Franklin County's population dies. Wow. But on that day of their death, on the day of our death, it can be a day of rejoicing if we're a Christian. But if they don't know Jesus, it's a day of sorrow. Dying outside of Jesus is a horrible thing, and it breaks our hearts, and it breaks the heart of God. So please reach out to those whom you love, whom you see, who you have influence over, so that they will have an opportunity to accept Jesus. Please reach out to them and share with them the good news of Jesus. Because in times of stress and uncertainty, people will be more open to what Jesus offers, because they see the futility and the brevity of life. When we know Jesus, the day of our death will be the best thing that has ever happened to us. So maybe that's a little hard to imagine. It's a little scary, but it's true. Now, don't judge, but Vicki and I watch American Idol, and we watch The Voice. And you hear on those shows, people say, "This is the best day of my life." Well, for Christians, our death day is the best day of our life, because we will have entered in to eternal life, and we will have met Jesus face to face. So as Christians, we can rejoice in Jesus. We don't have to be scared of anything that this world has or brings at us. I know right now that this national state of emergency is surreal. Whether you think the government is overreacting or doing the right thing, we're in uncharted waters. The one thing I know is that God is still on his throne, and we can trust him. We can find peace, and he will carry us through. Our main passage today is from Philippians. Paul sits in a prison cell in Rome after being falsely accused and arrested in Jerusalem 2 years ago. And on his long journey, he was shipwrecked. And on the island, he was bitten. They thought he was going to die. And now his daily life has been changed. He's locked in a cell by the government for 2 years. We've only been locked down for a couple of days. Let's compare our attitudes. Philippians 4:4, as Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Paul had joy in the midst of trouble and hardship. And with the news getting worse every day, you may have a hard time rejoicing and having joy in the Lord. We can have joy because our hope is not in this world, but in the world to come. Our joy is found in Jesus, not in a treatment or a vaccine for this virus. But when those become available, we will praise Jesus for those occurrences. But we can have joy and rejoice right now because we know Jesus. Many don't know Jesus, so they don't have that foundation, and thus they're scared because they don't have a sure future. You can give them a sure future. You can give them hope if you will reach out to them and offer them Jesus. Those outside of Christ have their minds on earthly things and don't have a real, genuine hope. But we have a real hope. Paul also writes in Philippians 3, verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." That is the foundation of our joy. Our future in heaven is why we can rejoice in the Lord no matter the hardships we face. James puts it this way, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when we face trials of many kinds, because that you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Pure joy indicates sincerity. Christians are not merely to put the best face on trouble and try to look on the bright side, be Pollyanna, but to sincerely rejoice when trouble comes. Rejoice, not because you suffer, not because you like pain, but rejoice because you know suffering is preparing you for the anticipated return of Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul had an attitude of rejoicing, and you and I can have an attitude of rejoicing also, no matter what we face. Philippians 4:4 again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord gives us both reason and power to rejoice. We rejoice. When we rejoice, we will be gentle to all. Gentleness refers to a gracious and reasonable spirit. Gentleness doesn't push for its own rights. It looks for the benefit of others. It's interesting to me that this same gentleness is what the president, governors, even CEOs are telling us now. They say, quit hoarding your food. Quit hoarding toilet paper. But, I mean, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We're about out. Government officials say, be kind, be helpful, be patient. Don't be selfish. Love your fellow man. These government leaders are telling a post-Christian society to act Christian, to be Christ-like. That's going to be hard for many to do. But we as Christians should set the example and lead the way of how to live like this and how to think like that, how to be gentle, because we can rejoice in the Lord. A gentle person would even be willing to give up their rights for others. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. We can rejoice and be gentle because Jesus is near. Philippians 4:4 says again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. That is why we can rejoice. Paul may have only meant that we in the Philippian Christians could rejoice because we have a personal relationship with Jesus. But he and they may have had in mind also of the Lord's return. The Christians of the first century were expecting Jesus to come at any time. We should have the same expectation, but many times we don't. We think, well, Jesus isn't going to come in our lifetime. And because we think like that, because we don't have that expectation, we get lazy. We get complacent in our Christian life. Let me ask you another question. In this time of pandemic, you may think, is the book of Revelation being fulfilled? Yes, God is in control and those on his side win. But the timing, when he's coming, I don't know. No one knows that. Revelation is a book of promise and hope in the midst of suffering. We have hope because Jesus is near. Philippians 3:8 says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Christian, rejoice in the fact that during the tough times, you have Jesus. We have Jesus to hold on to. He is our sure foundation now and our sure hope into the future. And be sure to share your joy and the source of your joy with others. Be kind, be gentle, and loving so that others who are scared can have hope. We have that to offer during this time, during this pandemic. We have the answers, and His name is Jesus. If you're watching this video and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, we want you to reach out to us at the Oak Forest Church of Christ. They're on the website. Just hit the contact button and reach out to us. We'd love to sit down and study with you, study God's Word with you, because we want you to know Jesus. We want you to believe, and we want you to find forgiveness in Jesus by repenting of your sins and being immersed in Him. Because when you're immersed into Jesus, your sins are gone. They're as far as the east is from the west, and you receive God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want for you, so that you have a hope and a peace and a promise for your future. Again, I thank you for watching this video. Glad that you're a part of the Oak Forest Church of Christ family. And at this time, I'd just like for us to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in You. We find hope and comfort in You. Help us to grow closer to You in this time of suffering. As we know people who are suffering, we know people who are ill, even from this coronavirus. We may even know those who have passed away. Families are grieving, and we ask that You would bring comfort and love to them. Help them to look to You for strength during this time. And Father, help us to be bold witnesses, that we can rejoice during this time. And help us to be bold witnesses for You, to point people to the hope that we have. So use us, Father, during these times. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Have a great day.